Okay, so chapter two, we see that divine arrangement, the arrangement God made for Ruth to meet Boaz and Boaz to meet Ruth. And we see how that all happened. It's not a coincidence. You can say whatever, the world can say whatever they want to say, but this was not a coincidence. There was not really anything special about Ruth that made Boaz notice her other than God, guiding her to see her and then hear about what she has done. And if you read the first few verses, he asked about her right away. Who is she? Who does she belong to? And then they told him her story. They told him how she came from Moab. She came to help her mother-in-law. She came to support her. She came to be there. And then we hear the conversation about between Boaz and Ruth. The conversation that starts, that's just is full of love and full of encouragement. Today we're going to pick up again from verse 9. Verse 8, Boaz is talking to her and he tells her, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me." Verse 9, "Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." See, these are the words of Boaz to Ruth. Okay. My prayer during these conversations between Boaz and Ruth, that we would switch, that we would put ourselves in Ruth's place and put God in Boaz's place. And hear the words that he has for us today. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Watch that field where the men are working so you can glean from what you need from them. If you want something today, okay? If you want something today, sometimes you have to watch the harvesters. You have to be around those who are trained, who know how to harvest from the word of God. Those who know how to glean from the word of God, and you can take something from them. It's okay. It's okay that you're not a harvester yet. Okay? It's okay that you don't know how to do it yet. It's okay. Just be around them. It's not an excuse that you don't know how to harvest. There is still something for you. Just be around them. Be in the same vicinity. There will be something for you. Don't be just watching, but no, go and participate and give it all to God and watch what God can do.
Amen.
Even if you're around the harvester, or the harvesters, follow along after the woman. They know where to go and they know what to do. They know the direction and they know exactly how to help you. Are we humble enough to look at how the people who are older than us in the faith, the people who are more experienced than us in the faith, are we humble enough to watch them, see what they're doing and follow along? Or do we still think that we got this on our own? Or do we still think like, oh no, I got this. I don't need anyone's direction. I don't need anyone's help. I can do this by myself. He is telling her just to go follow along. I will provide my recommendation about you that no one will harm you. I know you feel strange. I know you feel like this is a new place. I know that everything is new in this area, but I made recommendations about you. I have made it clear that you belong here and that you belong to me and no one will harm you. I will provide grace and protection while you are what? Working. While you are doing what you are supposed to do. A lot of times we expect God to just lay in bed and expect God to do it all for us. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. God wants us to get on the in the field with him. Roll our sleeves and get to work. There is so little we can do, and that's fine. But do we leave the majority to him? Okay. So he provided grace and protection while she's working. And when you're thirsty, because you will get thirsty, You will get tired. You will get thirsty. You the heat will get to you. Okay? It's not time to leave. It's time to go and get a drink. It's time to go get refreshed. Mm-hmm. I already have water jars filled for you to get you filled. The word of God is full of promises that as soon as we get thirsty, there is something for us to drink.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the heat of the sun gets to us, as soon as the trouble and the problems and all of it start coming our way, God has water jars filled and ready for us to drink from.
So as Asam's alluding to here, water in scripture refers to God's word. And it's no different right here in the scripture. The reference here is reminding us that God's word is present to give us refreshing and to give us endurance and to give us strength when we feel like we're thirsty, like there is the heat of the sun has been beating down on us and there's parched. We're getting to a place where we're about to be parched and it's time to be refreshed and fulfilled by God's word. Verse 9, we were talking about this earlier. I am telling you, highlight it, write it down. We can do probably a couple of weeks on just verse 9, really, really, truly. But the reason why I love verse 9 is because when we put Boaz in the place of Jesus, he's a metaphor really for Christ in this entire story. And when we put ourselves in the place of Ruth, who at this point is sort of a new believer, then this is Boaz, or this is Christ, Jesus, giving us instruction on how to walk the faith, the journey of faith with him. It really, it's kind of amazing. Listen to this. Okay, if you're inclined to take notes, please feel free to do so. If not, obviously this will be on YouTube so you can watch it. But let's go through this, okay? Let's go through the summary. He says, first, draw close, okay? Remember, Boaz here is the image of Jesus, and Ruth is us. Draw close, number one. Number two, don't go to another field. Don't go dabbling around in other areas. Stay close to me. Stay in my kingdom. Don't leave. Don't depart. Number three, stay with the women. Stay in fellowship with other believers. Stay in fellowship with people who have done it before you have, and make sure that you're connected with them and following what they're doing. Follow the harvesters. There's that means fall under some leadership in your life. Fall under some leadership through a church, again, through people who have done it before you have, people who have their axe in the ground and they're working for the kingdom of God. Follow the harvesters. Look and see what they're doing and do the same thing. Glean from them. That's number four. And number five, my favorite, drink and do not grow thirsty. Stay in God's word. Stay in the truth of his word and don't get to the point where you're parched. It's too late if you're parched. It's too late if you can't imagine what it feels like to have a flow of cold water and refreshing in God's word. This scripture is instruction for the foundations of our faith. And it's really basic. And I think sometimes we complicate it so much. And there's so much complexity. And I know even Asam and I are guilty of getting sucked into that a lot of times. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to want like meatier, you know, more in-depth stuff. But the reality is, God did not want the process of us following him to be rocket science. This is not something that's just supposed to be so difficult that no one can figure it out unless you're a theologian. It's not. Here are some very basic instructions of how we can live. I encourage you, sink into verse 9 this week, spend some time in it, see if God shows you something additional, because I think there's a lot there. Verse 10, it says, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? I mean, this is really the only proper response that we can have as a believer in the face of God's grace and mercy. This is Ruth's realization that who she is compared to who Boaz is. That Boaz, you know, the Lord of this place, is coming to speak to her in this way, overwhelms her. She's in a total state of humility with this. And it shows her that what she deserves is totally different than what she's been freely given. What she's been freely given here is complete and total grace and mercy. And truly, this is the only proper response to that.
Yeah, so this is, again, speaks to the overwhelming grace of God. And I'm gonna say this, and please, like, don't misunderstand me. If we don't have that moment at least once a day with God, we need to work harder on being in the presence of God. That moment where we truly overwhelmed by his grace and mercy. And when we don't have that, it's either we haven't seen how wonderful and loving and amazing God is, or we haven't seen how bad we are. Because one of those truths have to click. That the Almighty God, the all wonderful God, you know, I was telling Pastor Al and Pastor Mike right before this that we went to this work meeting, and there were a lot of executives and like people who are in charge of like so many territories. And I just noticed a lot of people going to take pictures with them and posting it on social media because they're big time, like they're executives, you know, and all of that. And I'm like, I was just sitting there and I'm like, how is it that I take for granted at this like really fancy dinner we're sitting at? How is it that I take for granted that I get to spend time with the Almighty God every single day? Mm-hmm. That I get to come and talk to him while people are rushing and racing to meet, like, you know, someone famous or someone that's well known or an executive or someone who, you know, who's in high powers. How is it that I take that for granted, that I get to meet the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he gets to call me his son, that he redeemed me and saved me and paid for all of my sins, that one of them was just enough to disconnect me from him forever. Mm. But he chose to pay for all of it, the billions and billions of sins that I have committed. But she was so overwhelmed, and I pray that you and I can just take those moments to meditate on who God is and who we are. So that feeling of being overwhelmed, it's not a bad feeling. It's actually a great feeling that the Almighty God, the God who's in control of everything, looks at someone like me, is communicating with someone like me, talking to someone like me, and I found favor in his eyes. She bowed down with her face ground and to the ground. She couldn't even look at him. She couldn't even look, not because she didn't want to. Remember the story of Peter? Peter was, this is one of the most amazing pictures that you can see in the New Testament. When Peter told Jesus, I've worked so hard all night long, didn't catch anything. Jesus used his boat. Then he told him to let the nets down. He let the nets down. Bring all these fish that almost made the fish, the boat sink, right? Remember that? It says something amazing where Peter fell on Jesus's knees. So Peter fell on his knees, holding onto Jesus's knees, telling him, Lord, get out of my boat. I am a sinful man. He doesn't really want him to get out. He's holding onto his knees. He's grabbing his knees, but he realized how sinful he is and how mighty and wonderful God is. There is that moment that I'm praying that you and I can have on a daily basis. Yes, and I'm not exaggerating. No, we want to have that moment every day during our quiet time with God or during our day. How why did I find favor in your eye? What makes me so special? And here is what makes you and I so special, that we are created after his image. We are so special to him. I know that sin came and ruined us, but Jesus came to restore us. So when he looks at you and he looks at me, he sees that image he created.
Mm.
He sees it through the work of Jesus. She recognizes, and I pray that you and I can recognize right now that we're noticed. You are noticed. Okay? You're not one of the 8 billion or 7 billion. That means no one is going to notice you. No. God notices you right now. He knows exactly who you are. He has a specific plan and purpose for your life. She recognizes that she is a foreigner, but what she doesn't know, that Boaz came here, came to that land as a foreigner. So he knows exactly how you feel. And through the work of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, we are no longer called foreigners, but we are called the children of God. She recognizes that she is poor and he's great. She recognizes and sees the difference between them. She recognizes and sees all of that. But then she recognizes that he sees her and he is the one that came to close the gap. Boaz was the one that approached Ruth, not the other way around. The same way that God approached you, closing the gap that you and I had between us and God. He came to close the gap. He came to pursue us, and he came to start that conversation with us.
Verse 11, it says, Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and you came to live with people that you did not know. God notices when we do something. And it's in this moment that he sees even when what people maybe didn't see. And Boaz spends this time validating to Ruth what she's been through. And his perspective on her is really he's after her heart, not her work, not the work of her hand, not what she can do for him in the field. It's interesting because he's the owner of land that's being harvested. And instead of him talking to her about what she can bring to his field with her work, he's speaking to her about something she's done with her heart.
That's good.
And so this is a very important point. God is not in it to bring you and I just so we can be harvesters in the field or workers in the field. That is not what he's interested in. What he's interested in is the work of our heart, the intent of our heart. And Boaz makes that very clear right here in the scripture.
You know, a report was given about Ruth. You know, a report could be given about Ruth. Could have been, oh, she's a Moabite. You know what the Moabites do? The Moabites hate us. Her father and maybe brothers or maybe cousins were in war with us before. Do you remember that Moabites didn't, you know, allow us to walk by? Do you know that the Moabites wanted to cast a curse against us? Do you know that the Moabites hate us? That could have been a report, but the overseer or someone spoke to Boaz, or the message that Boaz heard about her are the good things that she has done. May God help us. May God help us to give the accurate report through Jesus' eyes about our brothers and sisters.
Mm.
One preacher one time put it this way, when we come to God and say, oh, my brother here or so-and-so did this and this and this and this and this and this, he lied about me, he cursed me, he was wrong, he was this, he was that. We go and complain about our brothers and sisters. God would say, yeah, I just heard that from the devil. Because we have the enemy who's always doing what? Complaining against us while Jesus is interceding mm-hmm. for all of us. So the report that was given to Boaz was the right report. Ruth's work in the past is helping her with her present and will help her with her future. That decision she made about coming to a foreign land with a foreign people, that decision that many would have looked at as a death sentence, is the decision that made her closer to Boaz. Sometimes you and I look back at something where we were so sure it was God's moment. But when the middle of the day, in the heat of the sun, in the middle of the need, we look around and say, oh man, did I not mess up? I definitely messed up, right? Mm-hmm. Just wait for your Boaz moment.
Right.
Wait for your Boaz moment. Because as soon as he speaks, as soon as he reveals himself, you will know for sure, without a doubt, you are in the right place. That this is exactly where you're supposed to be. I was told what you have done with your mother-in-law, right? Now I want you to take those last few words and fill in the blanks. I was told what you have done with Arise. I was told what you have done with the people that you invited over your house, and you fed them and you gave them a place to live and you did all of that work for them, Soraya. I was told, Pastor Mike, all these wonderful jokes you tell that, you know, you make people smile and you just bring joy to their heart. I was told about the work you do on Tuesday night. I was told about the work that you do here and there. I was told about the work and what you have done with, and you fill in the blanks. Let me tell you, even a cup that you give to someone, God sees that and honors that.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you and I can start giving reports about each other tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for my brother, Pastor Al. I want to thank you for his faithfulness. I want to thank you for Delia. I want to thank you for Pastor Mike. I want to thank you for Pastor Edwin, for Sraya, for Dina, for Anna, for everyone here. I want to thank you for Robin and Amanda for leading worship. I want to thank you for these people because they invest. They work so hard to bless us. I pray that these would be the reports we give about each other. And then after your husband died, after you went through the trauma, she could have easily gone the other direction. My husband died. I am living a miserable life, you know, and live in sadness, live in sorrow, and just focus on that. But Ruth was about, she was like, yeah, I lost someone. You know what? I'm not about to lose another one. I lost a battle, the first one. But you know what? I'm not about to lose the second one. My husband died, but my mother-in-law is still alive. And I'm going to make sure that it stays that way. I know you and I lost stuff. Have you lost anything? Whether it's someone or a battle, or have you filled in something or whatever it is that you feel like, oh, I lost that battle. Well, guess what? There is another battle right around the corner. Get up and win that one. Get up and take that one. You don't have to live in yesterday's defeat. You and I, by the grace of God, do not have to live in yesterday's defeat. There is a new battle for you today. There is a new battle for me today. There is a new battle for you tomorrow. New battle for me tomorrow. And we can win those battles.
Amen.
Last week was not a great week with your spouse. This week, today, make it the best week ever. This last week was not a great week with your children. Make it the greatest week ever this week. At work, whatever it is, you lost something. Don't dwell on that. Move on to the next one that you're going to win. You left your father, mother, homeland. These are the words that Ruth said. Remember when we talked about it? Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Now, the same words are being spoken, but not from Ruth or Naomi, but from Boaz. I heard you. I heard what you said. I heard your heart. I heard your passion. I can see it. And I'm going to honor that. And that to me is something measure, that something has value. That's why I noticed you. Not because you're great, not because you're the greatest harvester, not because the prettiest, you're the prettiest woman, not because you have the greatest field in the area. No, but because of what you said. This is what made you special. This is what made you different. And this is why I'm noticing you. What was in your heart? Came to live with the people and people you didn't know. The same words also were spoken from God to who? To Abraham. Come from the land. Come out from this land where your mother, father, family, to the land and that I'm going to show you. See, it's all connected. Boaz speaks God's language. May you and I start today speaking God's language.
Verse 12, it says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.
This verse, I feel like maybe we should stop and just listen to that song, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. Honestly, with the second I read this verse, that song kept playing in my head. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to focus. Like I'm trying to do something here. And the song wouldn't stop in my head, kept playing and playing and playing until I gave up. I was like, okay, I'm just going to let the song play in my heart a little bit. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take that moment and sing that song. And I sounded amazing. Like you should have heard me. It was the greatest thing ever. So Boaz here is connecting Ruth with the God that she chose to come to. She's connecting her with the God that takes care of his children. Yes, he takes care of his children. He said, do not worry about tomorrow. I got this. I got this taken care of. Do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, where you're going to live. Do not worry about all of this. I will take care of all of this. He connects her with the God who repays those who believe in him. Yes, you believed in God and the enemy makes you feel like right now that you made the biggest mistake of your life. This is the biggest lie from hell. Because God is the rich God who repays those who choose to put their trust in him and to follow him. He connects her with the God who richly rewards those who believe in him. And he doesn't just rewards them. He rewards them richly based on his riches, not based on our expectations even. Amen. He connects her with the God of Israel. If you're looking down on yourself and you feel like, who am I? Well, remember that he's the God of Israel. Who is Israel? That was Jacob. That was what? That was the deceiver. That was the guy who lied about everything. And if you think of the nation, not the person, well, they weren't that much better. So the God of Israel is the God who has compassion, the God that's patient, the God that who is merciful, the God that has grace, the God that can look at someone who is absolutely nothing, and make something great out of them. These are the words of Boaz, and these are the words of God. It's connecting her with the God who will put her under his wings, making her feel she's loved, she's protected, she's taken care of. He is connecting her with God who will adopt her to his family.
Ruth's actions here constituted a reward, and this was the reward. Boaz was saying to her that our God is going to protect you, that you will be under his wings, because the actions that she took based on the posture of her heart, which was pointed towards doing the right thing and pointed towards God, constituted this reward, if you will. And sometimes as Christians, we're like reluctant to like say, that we're being rewarded by the Lord. Like I don't know, it's some type of I don't know, we're beating ourselves with a whip or something. I don't know, but this is what happened. She did something right, and God wanted to reward her. And this is how he rewarded her. Ruth gave out of her pain, and then God gives out of his abundance.
Yeah.
Ruth's pain was so, I mean, can you stop to think about the trauma that she was living in? I mean, sometimes when we read through it, it's so fast, but it's really intense, the type of thing that she's been through. And she chose not to wallow in it. She chose not to wallow in self-pity. Remember Jonah and his wallowing days in the whale, his wallowing days in the ship going down, 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 right? Jonah did a lot of wallowing in self-pity. Ruth here is showing us the opposite. She's made a decision that, no, I'm going to focus out of my pain. I'm going to focus on someone else. And that's what she did. And I don't know about you, but I've seen both types of people that have had both types of trauma. I've seen people that in the midst of their trauma are just outwardly focused on other people. And it seems to me that it's those types of people that heal much faster from the pain. I mean, that's just my own external assessment. But it seems to me that people find restoration, healing, and really can sink into God's goodness and are then immediately rewarded by God's grace and presence.
I mean, God said it like clearly. He said, I will honor those who honor me.
Yeah.
You know, or those who are, you know, will be honored in 1 Samuel. So it's like it doesn't, if God says it, I am not more generous than God in my, you know, let's just put it that way. Verse 13, Ruth, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. I have found favor in God's eyes, but may it continue. May it continue. This is a key word here for all of us. This is a good lesson for us to learn, that the continuation of finding favor in God's eyes. You know, one of the churches, the main problem for that church is that it forgot, they forgot their first what? Their first love. They got advanced. They became so consumed with activities and things that they wanted to do that they forgot their first love. May it continue. May I continue to find favor. May I continue to look at your grace every single day with that face that can't look up, but at the same time want to look up so bad to see your face. You know, may it continue. May I continue this feeling of being overwhelmed with God's grace and God's goodness.
Okay, so based on this, we kind of see into Ruth's situation a little bit. And what we see is that her heart was concerned, wasn't it? Because she says, you have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant. That insinuates that she wasn't at ease. That there was, even though she knew she was doing, you know, sometimes you do something and you believe truly at the moment that you're doing it, it's the right thing. But then you know, get there and you're like, how are we going to eat? How's this going to work out? How are we going to live? Ruth was definitely concerned. She was, you know, to put it lightly, carrying a load, truly carrying the load of Naomi and of herself to just live. And what Boaz says here is the assurance to her that she can be at ease. How many of us are pretty anxious and troubled about a slew of things, right? We can go down the list of things that keep us up at night. These are God's words to us. This is God's assurance to us. What Boaz just said to Ruth in verse 12 is God's assurance to us that may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Ruth hears those words and everything melts away. All of her troubles melt away because she knows who the source of that those words are, and she acknowledges the reward that she's been given because of it.
And speaking kindly to her, you know, don't be afraid to open God's word, because you will find a lot of kindness there. You will find a lot of assurance there. You will find a lot of help there. I think I shared with you guys several times that there was a period of time in my life, actually many periods, of not just once, where I couldn't sleep. I could not sleep more than maybe half an hour a day. I am up all night. My thoughts are all over the place. I'm thinking about everything. I'm like, there is not like one specific thing that's worrying me or anything like that. It just, I'm thinking about everything. You know, where are the kids going to go to school? Who I'm going to, like, my meetings tomorrow, the people that I work with, you know, that I need to get a car wash. You know, like just everything and anything, right? It just, your mind is going 100 miles an hour and you're not stopping. And you feel like there's something that's making you anxious, right? So here's my training. Here's what I did. I started reading God's word, or I started repeating God's word, or I started listening to God's word. I was like, okay, I'm awake. So I'm just going to put my headphones on and listen to a sermon or listen to songs and sing out loud in the middle of the night. Just kidding. No, I didn't. But listen to sermons, listen to the Bible, just listen to the Bible being read, listen to something. I brought God into my anxiety. I brought God's word into everything that I was going through, all the thoughts. Now, let me tell you, the enemy stopped waking me up at night. I feel like he is putting like Tylenol PM into my food, because it turned into a revival. It turned into a revival. Those nights that I couldn't sleep and I woke up so exhausted and tired and I couldn't go on with my day. You know, now they're turned into truly, I felt like I am in this amazing revival where I'm like praising God, learning, writing things. A lot of the messages that you hear me preach on Sundays, these came during those nights, really, like where I couldn't go to sleep. So now I grabbed a verse and I'm like meditating on that verse and I'm just writing comments. If you look at my phone's notes, you will see comments at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? That's better. It's God's word putting me at ease. Either I'm having a great time communicating with God, talking to God, or I'm going right back to sleep. God's word is full of that. That testimony I just shared with you right now could happen to you and to me during the day, whether at night, during sick season, during financial struggle season, during any season of our life. God's word has the ability to ease the pressure that we have. And now I'm feeling really bad because I prepared to verse 15 and Dina kept telling me, you're not even going to get to verse 14.
I said it.
And now she's going to keep saying that all night.
I tell them all the time. So here we are at verse 13.
So
and
verse
now we're
14.
Done. No.
So we have a question for you, and then we'll, you know, that can open up the conversation a little bit. Here's the question. Do you know anyone who's troubled in any way? Do you know anyone who's troubled? Okay. How could you put them at ease using the word of God? This is a practical thing. This is not a question just for the sake of Bible study. This is a question that we can actually do what we're going to share with each other. We all know someone who is not at ease.
And it might be you.
Yeah, we know, or it might be me, really. It might be me. And if you share a thought with me right now, that can help me. You know, I shared with you my testimony just a few minutes ago. I really couldn't sleep for months and months. This wasn't a day or two. I couldn't sleep for a long time. And the word of God came and put me at ease. So if we all agree that we know someone who's troubled, right? We all do agree or no? Or is it just me? Okay, now how can we use the word of God to put them at ease.
So share your personal secrets with us if you have them. If it's a scripture, if it's a story that you often tell or remind yourself of, whatever it might be, what through the word of God puts you or helps you put others at ease?
I've never found that one quick word or story or verse worked for me. It's always been a pattern, like systematic kind of a scenario. So like if I was to be meeting with someone who's going through a season, then we would just go through a period where we can like study scripture together. And it would be like on a consistent basis, because normally the worry didn't come as a one-time event. It was layers of stuff, and usually takes several times of going through scripture together to remove those layers one piece at a time.
So discipling someone?
To me, I second what Assam said. I have a hard time falling asleep. And I try different things as well. I do listening to the Bible or the Abide, I think it's called, the sleep that makes you fall asleep. And sometimes I do find myself able to sleep, but then once I turn it off, my brain again goes, again, it starts doing that, you know, so... It's different times. Sometimes, and I think I mentioned Dahlia one time, I was counting one Jesus, two Jesus, three Jesus, you know, instead of counting
Jesus.
And that, yeah, and it helped me. But I realized that when I was putting it in my ear, I was trying to memorize what I was listening. So it wasn't successful for me to be able to sleep. But now what I do is I just let it speak. And the only thing that I remember, my verse that it says, be still and know that I am God. Mm. So I just stay still. And then I find myself, because I was trying too hard to be holy or in the moment, you know, oh, I'm going to memorize the Bible verse. So my brain was going like that. Mm. But I noticed that once I relax and I just was not trying to respond to what I was listening. I was just letting the spirit, in another words, kind of put me to sleep. So that helps me also.
So if I'm coming to you, Soraya, telling you I'm having a hard time sleep, how can you summarize your experience and like give me something practical to do to help me with that lack of sleep or like being up at night? From the word of God that eases that pain and anxiety that I have?
I would do, and I did tell Sandra also, because she has a hard time sleeping, just to rest on him, not to over spiritualize it or minimize it, but just rest on him. You know, I tell Jesus, you know what's in my heart, because I'm like you. I would think big things, little things. Even I would like, oh, I should have put this over there, or, you know, the laundry and big problems and big concerns and health and all that. So what I would say is just rest. Just don't speak. To me, it's don't speak. Just be still. And let whatever's going on in your ear penetrate, which is the Holy Spirit that will give you that peace.
Very good.
Very good.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Oh, what did I do?
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, we can open it to other comments, conversations, questions about what the scriptures that we just went through.
What I like, it was the analogy of Jesus, Boaz, and Ruth, us. That's a very wise thing to put it in perspective, that the God is so amazing that when you guys discern and penetrate to the world to do this to us, it's a big blessing. It's a big blessing from you guys, because it makes us see how internally is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You discern and you just picked it up, because ourselves, in my case, I just go through it and I don't take that. I don't see that. But when you guys go and study, because you guys study, I know that. So blesses us, make us see the beauty of the Word. So I appreciate it. Your dedication,
I appreciate hearing that.
Your obedience, and your goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's opened up to us more than anybody else, I feel like. I mean, it's just been, it's amazing to do it.
We're honestly living the best year of our marriage.
Absolutely.
Since we started doing Bible.
100%. You know, yeah.
She's definitely changing. Like, yeah, you have no idea.
He's changing. He is.
Like my wisdom is just overflowing on her.
She can't even sleep. Say
the other way.
It's very been different. Truly life-changing for us.
Yeah.
Not
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
We're living the greatest year of our marriage. You know, and we thought we had a good marriage, right?
Yeah, and I think we did, but God's since, word has influenced our marriage in such a way. Because
we're working together. We're working together. We're researching together. We're studying together. God has definitely blessed us in the last year with closeness to Him and closeness to each other that we've never
seen. We've never experienced. So thank you for showing up, everyone.
Thank you.
Wow. I think going back to the word, real quick, the question that you had asked previously, I think sometimes, yes, we know that God's word is God's word. It's it's spirit breathed, it's powerful, but sometimes we forget how powerful His word really is. So in order for me to be able to encourage other people in the word of God, is to basically give them an understanding that the word that is spoken, like, you know, His word says it's like a double two-edged sword that pierces through the heart. There's a verse that says He sent forth His word and it healed. So as the word is being delivered, it actually does something in our soul. There is things that are happening within us. So as we hold on to His words, His promises, His faithfulness, and as we meditate on His word, I'm being changed, not only spirit, soul, mind, and body, as I hold on to His word. And we're laying that as the foundation of our faith that we're building on as we're choosing to trust God through whatever circumstance or situation we go through.
Amen. That's good.
You know, God always opens the door if we're willing. If we're willing to share, and if, because there are people around us that are truly hurting and truly living anxious life, that are thirsty, that need a word from Him. Really, if we just open our hearts, these 3 days that we were in San Francisco, this was a work event, okay, where you don't think at all that you, like every single day of that work event, we had the chance to witness to someone. I'm talking about every single day. We had the chance, and I'm not just saying witness like, oh, God is good. No, we were actually having a Jesus conversation. We were talking about Jesus, his love, his mercy, the cross. We're talking about everything. Every single day in our trip, God opened the door, and we felt like every time we left, we put that person at ease because they were anxious about something. The last night, right before we left, we met this new couple that they're very, very young couple, and they're anxious about their kids, where they're going to go to school, whether to put them in private school or to public school. And they're just so anxious about all of that. And we shared with them what we did. You know, no, we put them in public school, but we were doing Bible study every single night. And every single morning we prayed together as a family, even we're in the cars. And we gave them a couple of like our own experience, just talking to them, sharing with them what God can do, what the word of God can do in their life and in our life. It made such a huge difference. There are people around us that are so anxious and so tired and misunderstanding the word of God or misunderstanding God's, work in our life. And you and I, if we've been through these experiences and we've received that knowledge and received that wisdom from him or received that experience from him, we need to share it. We need to share it with others. The doors are always going to be open. Another thing.
I want to say something. I'm sorry.
Anna, hi.
Hi. I just want to, like, first of all, thank Dahlia for sending me those encouragement verses, because I know that God is there for me right now. I am going through a really, really hard time. And I try my best to get in the Word. All those things that he has done for me. But unfortunately, there's times where connection, where the truth of the word of God, I can't make that, how can I say it? Like, it just doesn't go to my mind. My mind right now is really, it's in the wrong place, right? So my daily prayers is basically asking God to help me through this, to, as he has in the past, help me not to give up, because I have a lot to live for. And I know that I want to be that person that I need to be, meaning that I want to be able to help others. And I want to be able to understand more the word. But I'm also struggling. And I know that it's the word that is helping me through this, again, not to give up. But it's the encouragement, like the ones that I get from Dahlia, because I don't have really no one else in my life to encourage me and to help me with this walk. I am truly grateful for God for putting Arise back in my heart to be there with, you know, you guys as a family. Because thanks to you, to the Bible studies and everything, has helped me a lot. But like I said, right now I'm really, really in a bad, really bad place where I'm really having a hard time getting out of it. But I do feel God's presence, you know, because this is when I seek him the most. This is where I cry out to him the most. And I know he will heal me, and I know he will make everything right. I do know that. I just need, you know, to continue to keep on the word, you know, keep on the word. So I'll get there, you know, I'll get there. You know, I just, like I said, he has done so much for me and my family. So I'm grateful for that. And I know he will, again, get me out of, you know, out of the situation I'm feeling right now. Because I know it's my PTSD that has just been really triggered. And it's just a fight. It's a daily fight. But I know he is faithful. And I know he will heal me. And I know that he will make things better for me. And I'm doing my part as well, like I said, to get in the word. But again, those encouragements that I've been getting from Dahlia has been really, really helpful. So Dahlia, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
You're on mute.
Yeah, it's my honor, Anna. And you know what? We're a family and we're here together to stand together and living the word of God. You know, he says if there is one part that hurts, we all hurt. If one rejoices, we're rejoicing together. And, you know, that's the way God intends it, for us to live as a body. You know, we're here to support each other and we're here to encourage each other. And you've got a family that cares and loves you. And you're covered in prayer. You are covered in prayer. And you are more than a conqueror. That's what God's word says. And you know what? I release his word. As a matter of fact, I was just going to say, if we can, before we end the meeting, not only Anna, but there are a few other people that we need to lift up in prayer as well. If you remember Leticia and Guillermo, they, Joshua, remember, he's 7 years old right now. And I spoke to Leticia a couple of days ago, and she was telling me that he's been getting high blood pressure at 7 years old, and it's like over 170.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if we can lift him up in prayer as well and just believe and trust that God is more than able. He's more than able, and his word is powerful, and we're standing on his word. Anna, we are standing on his words and his promises for you, and you will come out of this. And you know what? It takes a person who's willing to press in to overcome, and this is what you're doing. You're pressing in. You're not giving into anything. You're pressing into God's love, and you're making yourself available for us to be a part of your life. And that's what makes a winner.
Thank you.
So we're honored that you're here.
You know, this is what I love about Bible study. Our little Zoom room sees a lot of intimate conversation and transparent conversation that maybe we wouldn't get on a typical Sunday, or, you know, just chatting in the foyer at church. So thank you, Anna, for your transparency, your continued transparency. I feel like you are someone who works on you and takes it all to Jesus. And so I'm learning from that. Thank you so much for being that person for us in our little Zoom group. And
I'm not just saying that, but honestly, since you've been joining this Zoom, I've been learning so much from you.
Yeah, same here.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for that. Yeah, Dahlia, you wanna pray and pray us out and pray for all these people that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, just first thing, God, we just thank you for who you are. We know that the love that you have for us is so unfathomable that you try to communicate to us how powerful your love is, that you give us so many different levels of relationship to give us a glimpse, a small, tiny understanding of the love that we cannot comprehend. Father, we thank you that you say to us, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, then how much more will your heavenly Father give, the Holy Spirit, give good things to those who ask? Well, Jesus, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we come before you, not in a meek or, you know, just shy way, Father, but we just come in confidence. We come in boldness because that is what you tell us. Enter therefore boldly before the throne room of grace that you might find help in the very time of need. And that's what we do. Jesus, you said, if two or three agree together touching anything, that it will be done unto them. Ask, it will be given. Knock, the door will be open. Seek, you will find. You will find, he said, as long as we do not ask amiss. And God, we come in agreement with the work of the cross. We come in agreement with the power of the cross, Father. We come in agreement with every precious drop of blood that was shed on our behalf, Father. Through your death and resurrection, we have resurrection power. And God, you release your word to heal your people. Your word brings healing. Your word brings restoration and brings victory. And it is alive like a two-edged sword, Father God. We ask that it would penetrate the deepest, most part of our soul, Father, that you restore, Father, whatever the enemy has taken away. God, restore it 100-fold over, and let your name through our lives be glorified, be magnified. Jesus, we invite you. Holy Spirit, we invite you in every circumstance and every situation. Father, you know your people. You know the needs. You know the desperate cries, Lord. And we thank you that you said that in you we find shelter, in you we have a home. You are our refuge and our hiding place. And Jesus, on behalf of people, for people, we are coming, running to you to find shelter and a place of safety, Lord. And we are asking in the mighty name of Jesus, together as one, that your healing hand would be extended out, that you would touch your people from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. God, that you would bring, that your name would be glorified, Father, in every circumstance and situation as you extend out your power to them, Father, and your hand of mercy and grace as you touch your people, spirit, soul, mind, and body, Lord. We trust in you. We trust in your word. We trust in your faithfulness and in your goodness, God. And we choose to rest in the process. As your word tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. God, we acknowledge who you are in our life, King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Prince of Peace, the Holy One of Israel, the Great I Am. Father, in you we are conquerors. In you we are victorious. I pray that your word becomes alive in every heart, in every soul, in every mind. Let your word become alive and bring healing and restoration, God, in every aspect. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise as we trust in you, as we hold on to you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayers. And we say this in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. All right.